Have your Bibles this evening. We're going to turn to the book of Mark, chapter 8. We're going to look towards the end of this chapter. Now, I believe these are verses that we'd be familiar with. I'm going to be like Peter. There's things that I need to remind you of as long as I'm in this tabernacle. And even though we know some things, it's good to be reminded of them. And so that's the burden that God has given us. Go and pick up in verse 34. Of Mark chapter 8, before we read, we do want to look to the Lord in prayer. The Heavenly Father, as we come to you this day, Father, we're so thankful for the many wonderful things that you've done for us. Father, you've been good to us, far better than we deserve. And Father, we pray that you would lead, guide, and direct in the service, touch hearts as only you can. Help us to accomplish your will, that souls could be saved and your people could be drawn close to you. Remember the prayer requests that have been mentioned. And even the unspoken request, pray that you would bless and answer as only you can. And Father, for the good that's accomplished through it all, let us step aside and give you the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In Mark chapter 8, verse 34, says, And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake and the gospel's, the same shall save it. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Now, very simple thought that God's placed upon our heart. What's valuable to you? What's valuable to you? And you know, that's different for every person. I don't think that we could say it's all the same, I've got things that are valuable to me, wouldn't mean a thing to you. And you've probably got things that are valuable to you, wouldn't mean a thing to me. I think right here I've got this tie clip, and there's probably people ask why you wear it. I get asked about it every now and then. What is that and why do you have it? Well, it's from the United States Embassy in Kabul, Afghanistan. I know that no longer exists. But my dad got it for me while he served over there. I think I've got two things from Afghanistan from my dad, this being one of them. And, you know, it means something to me. If somebody said, I'd like to buy that off of you, I'd say it's not for sale. I'd give you $100 for it, I'd say it's not for sale. It's just not. They might even say $1,000 and look, it's not for sale. That's just a simple point of it. Now, I'll be honest, I could use the money. I think most of us could say that in life. I don't know too many people that can say they couldn't use $1,000 or $100 or whatever. But there's some things that shouldn't be for sale. There's some things that are just more valuable than money. And we need to have things like that in life. We need to have things that are valuable to us, that are important to us. But let me ask you this. How valuable is your soul? How valuable is it? I know how valuable it was to God. Because the Bible says we were bought not with corruptible things such as silver and gold, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's already showed us how He values our soul. He's let us know how precious it is. And I don't know how you can say something's more precious than you would give your only begotten son to purchase something. That's a pretty steep price. To let your only begotten son to suffer, to bleed, to die. To purchase something. That's the value of a soul, but how much do you value it? Now I know none of us are going to have a time where Satan comes and lays some contract in front of us and says, okay, if you'll sign here, I'll agree to you with you to give you this amount of money or this thing that you want in life. If you'll just give me your soul. Now, he doesn't come that way, does he? But I'll tell you what he will do. He'll lay a lot of things out there that you think that you desire and want. And he'll say, chase this, you can trust Christ later. He'll do that, won't he? And even the saved people, and I'll remind you, there's going to be some saved yet so as by fire, but the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 that they suffer loss because they live their lives seeking the things of the world instead of seeking the things of the Lord. They won't have rewards. They won't have treasure laid up in heaven. They won't have all these special blessings. They won't have a crown. They won't have all that. They'll suffer loss. Still be saved, but I tell you what, they'll be lost there. And I don't think we can adequately just look at that and really understand what all that's trying to get across. If we could, it might mean something more to us. But what did they trade it for? What did they trade the treasures in heaven? What did they trade for the crown? What was more valuable? And again, I have to ask you personally, what's valuable to you? You know, I hear some things and I listen to people talk. One of the things I used to do is, back before Susan and I had kids, if she was trying to look for a dress or something like that, there's sometimes that I would just go sit in a bench in the mall. First of all, there used to be some old men that would sit there and you could have conversations with them, and I just enjoyed that. But you can sit and listen to people's conversation. What they're saying when they pass by. And you can hear what they love and what they're after and all that. And you hear a lot of things. And you'll hear sometimes, you know, there'll be a man saying, well, I'm not looking to get married. That'll interfere with my career. Sometimes you'll hear the women go by, well, we're not going to have kids for a while because that would interfere with what we want to do. You know, one of the things that I've been trying to instruct, you're always trying to teach your kids and teach them things. And I like to read and study on some different things, and there's things in Scripture. One of the things I've tried to teach lately, at least to my son, is I said, son, there's no such things as solutions. I said, there's only trade-offs. And I know some people might not agree with that statement, but if you'll examine it, you'll find the same. Could God save us without the blood of Jesus Christ? He wouldn't be righteous anymore if he did. So something had to go in exchange for my soul. Something had to be exchanged for it. A price had to be paid. Somewhere along the way, a price had to be paid for the sin debt. Jesus paid it for me. It's either he pay it for me or I suffer myself. There wasn't no just easy solution. Well, we'll just save them all. We'll just do that. That's how a lot of the world thinks today, isn't it? But they don't understand there's trade-offs. For everything you do, something else is given up. There's people say, oh man, we need some free college. You know, you'll hear people talk about things like that. We'll get free college. Okay, what's the trade-off? Of necessity, what's going to happen to your taxes? And I'll say this also, what's going to happen to the price of tuition when there's basically a blank check written? Y'all haven't seen expensive college yet until it's free. That's something you can know. You can study through history and know what's going to happen. You know, people are almost amazed. We wrote a pile of checks a few years ago because of COVID. Gave a whole lot of money out to a lot of businesses and a lot of people. And I even tried to make the statement up front. I said, we need to be counting the cost. Oh, the cost of death, the cost of this. And I said, there is longer consequences than just death and a disease. And a rational person thinks about those things because you know that for whatever you're trading off, there's going to be some kind of consequences. Now we're all upset because of, what, 9% inflation or something? There's nothing for free. There's just trade-offs. And that's why the Lord says you can have treasure down here Or you can lay up treasure in heaven. You can either turn by faith and believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, or you can lift your eyes in hell. But you got a choice to make, don't you? You got a choice to make. You know, there's some men out there and they say, oh, I want all these different things. You know, the old saying is, you can't have your cake and eat it too. That's one of those old sayings. And what that's getting to is, you can have all these great dreams and all these other things, but you're not going to have everything. There's trade-offs. For everything you gain, something is lost. There are things worth losing. There are things worth gaining. There are. But a wise person will evaluate and say, what am I trading? You know, you can work two or three jobs, can't you? You know, years ago I was talking to a man and he was making, I'm talking about a boatload of money. A pile of it. Not just six figures, but he was on up there in the six figures. I mean, he was making a pile of money. And I had a private conversation with the man. He was telling me about it. He said, man, I'm making this much. I'm doing this. I said, how much time are you getting with your wife? How much time are you getting with your children? Money isn't everything, is it? He got a job where he could make a pile of money, but he never got the joy of spending any of it. Oh, it was being spent, but he wasn't enjoying it. He was working all kinds of hours. And I asked him, I said, what's the good of having all that money if you're not able to enjoy your family? Now, I can understand you get in a bad bind, you get in debt, and you have to make some sacrifices. As the Bible says, deliver thyself as a roe from the hunter. There are times where you might have to make some big sacrifices to get back on some steady ground. There's a time for that. There is. But I'll tell you this, I don't know of anybody that wants to work 80, 90 hours a week, do you? For the rest of their life, for a long period of time. You can do it for a time. But before too long, you're going to burn out if you don't know what you're working for. Sometimes that big house isn't worth it. The trade-off isn't worth it. Sometimes that fancier automobile or all these other things that people try to work for, sometimes it's not worth what you're giving. Now, I'll go to the other side of that. There's some people who want a whole lot of play and want to have about a $5 work ethic. And I'll be honest with you, they deserve to be broke. You deserve to have some poverty if you don't want to work. There's some people who say, oh, we need to cut the work hours down from 40 hours a week to 30 hours a week. I'm going, no, you don't. Hard work is good. Earning your money is good. But there needs to be a balance somewhere. And you got to figure out what's valuable to you, what's important. You know, I've known some people that'll complain and complain and complain. Well, I'm just always broke. I'm always out of money. And I'm going, I wonder why. You're buying, you know, a carton full of cigarettes every week. You're buying cases of beer. You know, you're going out and drinking with buddies and doing all kinds of other things, wasting your money away. I wonder why you're broke. I got to have this good time. There are better times to be had than that. But there's people that they make a choice, don't they? There's people that make a choice with Christ. There's people that make a choice with their life with Christ after they're saved. You got to figure out what's valuable. Now, Jesus teaches us what's valuable. He teaches the value of marriage. He teaches the value of family. He teaches the value of hard work. He teaches the value of saving. He teaches a lot of different values. Most importantly, He teaches about laying up treasure in heaven. That everything we do needs to be done with a heavenly view, a heavenly perspective. Seek those things which are above and not the things upon the earth. Now that's the way that Jesus looks at it, and He's trying to tell you what's really valuable and where your focus needs to be. But I can preach that to you all the day long, but sooner or later you're going to have to decide what is valuable to you. There's some people in this world that think entertainment's the real value. You know, I've heard people say, oh, I don't have time to read my Bible. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to study. And then maybe the next week you hear them talking about, well, I got on this streaming site. Man, I watched a whole season of this television show. And then I watched another season of this television show. And they're basically talking about, my goodness, you know, 15, 16 hours a week they're spending watching stuff. They're showing you what's valuable to them. Can you imagine if you see other people getting crowns and getting rewards in heaven and you say, I traded that in for TV shows? Video games, things of that nature. Because that's a whole lot of time to spend watching something, isn't it? Again, there's trade-offs. And the Lord's saying here, what's valuable to you? There's some that don't trust in Christ because they say, well, I want to do this and I want to do that. Look, if your heart's already to the place that you don't want to repent and trust in Christ, when's that ever going to change, especially the more addicted you get to the things of this world? When's that going to change? If you're already addicted to the things of this world and it's more valuable to you in Christ, until you see the need to change, when is that going to change? I can't talk somebody into heaven. And I can't make somebody trust in Christ. They have to hear what the options are. Living in eternity in hell in the lake of fire, living with the Lord for all eternity. A saved person has to hear the options of, I suffer loss, saved yet so as by fire, or I lay up treasure in heaven that will endure forever and have crowns and blessings and maybe even get some of those special blessings, he that overcometh. You know, some get to sit with Jesus in His throne as He sits in His Father's throne. I mean, there's special blessings mentioned. But you know, there's people that are saved that want those things without the sacrifice. No, you're going to have to make a choice that you want those things. And you're going to have to make a choice to say what God is offering is better. And you look at that, Moses is a good example of that. He esteemed the reproaches of Christ greater riches than all the treasure in Egypt. Well, what did he do? He looked at the options that were there. He said, suffering with Christ has far better riches than the things of this world have to offer. He looked at it and he made a choice. He saw what was really valuable to him and he made the sacrifices necessary to go after what God offered. He said, I find that a far greater price. Apostle Paul tells those at the church at Rome, he let them know, he said, the sufferings of this life, he let them know, he said, you can't compare them with what the Lord has waiting on those that love Him. He said, you just can't compare them. What God's got is a far better option. And his life showed that he believed that. He made the sacrifices and he put off the things of the flesh. He was willing to deny himself to take up his cross and follow the Lord because he said that's got greater reward. He even would later tell young Timothy, he said, you know, I've got a crown of righteousness waiting on me. He knew he had it. And he said, you know, but it's not just for me. It's for all those that love the Lord's appearing. If you love the Lord, you will keep His commandments. You'll be looking for Him. You'll be living in a way that you're looking towards eternity. But to obtain that, you're not just going to happen into that crown, are you? You've made a choice that what God has was more valuable to you than the things of this world. Again, I ask the question, what's valuable to you? Maybe give a few examples. What's $1 million worth to you? What's $1 million worth? Would you compromise your principles for $1 million? Go a little bit higher. What about $1 billion? Never have to worry of money a day in your life while you're here on this earth. Would it be worth compromising your principles to get it? Maybe money's not your objective. You know, there's things we keep in our own heart we don't tell anybody else. When you were young, for those of us that are older, for you the young, you might be going through this. But for those of us that are older, when you were young, was there anybody you were so attracted to that you said, man, that they would be my girlfriend, my boyfriend, whatever the situation, man, I'd do anything? You would? If you could have the desires of your heart, whatever they are, what's it worth? What would you give in exchange for your soul? One of the words that I've studied on over the years in the Word of God, it's a simple word. I think we all know what the word means, but it's integrity. It's a word that a lot of people in the world today really don't comprehend or understand. I don't know why they don't, but there's a lot of people who just don't want to be a person of integrity. Let me ask you this. Would you like to go before a judge that could be bought? I wish judges would see their roles and politicians, things of that nature. I wish that they would see what their role really means and say that there are values and principles I will never let go of. I don't care the price. I don't care what's offered me. It's not worth it. To have that integrity, I am not for sale. You can't buy me. You can't get my attention. I will be honest and true no matter what. I tell you what, that's one of the things that we need to teach our children, our young people growing up. If you want to be really a godly person, you have to be a person of integrity. You're not for sale. You know, the world likes to think, well, everybody's got their price. And I'll tell you what, for a lot of people in this world, they have a price, don't they? That's part of what I'm asking in this message tonight. Do you have a price? Is it partying? Is it living it up? Is it enjoying some pleasures in this world? Is it money, prestige, power? What is it? What do you value? What would you give in exchange for your soul? Again, I don't know your heart. I can't answer that for you. But if you have integrity, you say there's nothing that's more valuable than my soul. God has shown me the value of it in Christ. He paid the ultimate price. Nothing. Nothing's more valuable than that. There's nothing that Satan could offer me that would make it where I would want what he offers more than wanting to know the Lord. But it takes integrity to be that way. Again, this evening, I want you to examine yourself and ask you, what do I really value? What's really valuable to me in life? If you're lost, I pray that Christ is the most valuable thing to you. I pray that you'll see that. I pray that you'll turn to Him. Because I can tell you, God's already shown you how valuable you are to Him. He gave His only begotten Son to die for you. He has shown how valuable you are to Him. I hope that you would want what He has to offer. But Satan will offer you pleasure. Satan will offer you all kinds of other things. He'll say, no, you need to chase this. You need to go after that. You need to put Christ off for another day so you can have your fun, do what you want to do, and all this other stuff. Satan will offer you anything in the world to keep your attention off of Christ. But I'll tell you this, you were purchased with a far greater price than what any silver or gold or any lust of the flesh could buy. The precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Know the value that God has put on you. And for those of us that are saved, what's valuable to us? There's sometimes people don't serve the Lord because they're trying to get things down here. They're trying to accomplish things that they want to accomplish down here. There are things we must accomplish. There are things we must do. As far as providing for our family, there's work that needs to be done. There's things of that nature. But you can live a life of integrity while taking care of those things and serving the Lord. But yet there's a lot that don't. Because they say there's some things down here that's more valuable than serving God. And they put their love on treasures of the earth instead of on treasures in heaven. And the thing is, no matter how much treasure you get down here, it'll never be enough. You know, years ago I was talking to a financial advisor and we're looking at how much the government spends and, well, you know, what things would you recommend to invest in? Would you recommend silver? Would you recommend gold? What would you recommend? He said, you can have all the silver and gold you want. He said, this economy ever falls down. He said, you better have some ammunition. Of course, I made a joke about that. I said, so you're telling me I need to buy more guns, more ammo? My wife was with me, so I was using that on her. But to say this, what good is that going to do you in the long run? This world is temporary, and everything down here one day will burn with a fervent heat. Everything down here will be dissolved. What will it be worth then? Where is your heart? Where is your love? What is valuable to you? You need to know the answer to that. And I can't answer it for you. I have no ability to put things into your heart to make you do a single thing. I can't make you serve the Lord, and I can't make a lost person trust in the Lord. But I can tell you the trade-offs. If you do not trust in the Lord, there is a real place called hell in the lake of fire. And there's no avoiding it. And the Bible is very plain. When a person dies, they lift their eyes in one place or another. Lazarus, he lifted his eyes in the comfort of Abraham's bosom, didn't he? The rich man lifted his eyes in hell and was in torments. That's the only two options. And the good news is you don't have to pay for that. It's been paid already through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, offered to you freely. But you've got to see who you are and turn and believe upon Christ. And after we're saved, you have all freedom. You can chase after whatever you want to chase after. You can chase lust. You can chase greed. You can chase all kinds of things in this world. You can chase prestige. You can chase fame. You can chase all kinds of things. You can chase all kinds of pleasures. You're free. But understand, wherever you put your heart at, you're going to find your reward there. And I'll remind you this, sin is death. If you'll say, I'm saved, it's still death. You say, I'm sealed, I can't lose my salvation. And I'll agree, you can be saved yet so as by fire, but don't think you will not suffer loss. There is a trade-off. And there is a suffering. It's clear in Scripture. There is a judgment for the saved as well as a judgment for the lost. And even though I don't know how to put adequately into words everything that I can see in Scripture, I can tell you what, you're not going to like the trade-off when you trade the treasures of heaven for the treasures of the earth. You're not going to like it in the long run. That much I know. But your life is going to be filled with trade-offs. You can chase what you want, or you can chase what God says is best for you. And another thing I know is God's way is far better. And it's not even close. So what I would advise you to do is love the Lord and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. That's what I advise to you. I'd advise you, if you're saved, to follow the Lord and lay up treasure in heaven. It'll work out far better for you. And if you're lost, I would advise you to trust in Christ. You'll never regret it. You'll never say, I wish I'd have done something different. You'll probably look back many times in your life and say, thank the Lord I trusted in His Son. Thank the Lord I trusted in the only begotten Son of God. It's made all the difference. But you've got to look at it, make your own decision. God will not make the decision for you. He'll tell you what's best. He'll tell you, if you choose this route, what you've got. You choose that route, this is what you've got. He'll tell you all the details of it. And then He'll say, and now the choice is in your hands, what you're going to do. And it all comes down to, what do you love? What would you give in exchange for your soul? I pray that you make the right choices. I pray that if you're lost, you turn and trust in Christ. And if you're saved, I pray that you'll live for Him and be a living sacrifice unto Him. This is the burden that God has given us. If you'd have anything upon your heart, we'd invite you to come. I have a verse for song.